Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we'll begin here in a moment in verse 28, and I think I will read the passage with you here in just a moment from verse 28 down to verse 42, but just begin tonight by looking at verse 42, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42. There's a statement made there. The Bible says, "It is a night to be much observed." A night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And we know, of course, the night that he's talking about is the night when the firstborn were slain, but it's also the night that Israel was delivered from Egypt. There's an interesting statement back up in verse 40 and verse 41. It says in verse 40, "The sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Now, I misunderstood that number until I studied this a little bit more. It says, "It came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." And what he's talking about there is that on the very anniversary of the day when the promise was made, 430 years after that day is when the promise was fulfilled. Now, the day he's talking about here is the day that Abraham had the vision and saw the children of Israel leaving Egypt. It was the 15th day of the first month. And as we know, the calendar was just reset here. The Lord said, "This is the first month unto you." It was the 15th day of the first month. But it was also, if you didn't know this, it was on the 15th day of the first month that the Lord Jesus Christ's body was placed in the tomb. And so there's a coincidence there. There's a representation. This night meant different things to different people. For some people, it was a night of tremendous grief, the loss of their firstborn. For some people, it was a night of tremendous deliverance, the exodus from their captivity in the land of Egypt. And it's interesting that on that night, it was a night of judgment and deliverance, and it depended upon whether or not you believe God as to which it was. For example, there will be a day coming one day which is called Judgment Day. We'll see it called the Day of the Lord in the Bible. For some people, they look forward to Judgment Day. Think about this with me. How do you feel about this coming judgment? How do you feel about that day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people who have denied him, for them it will be a day of sadness, just like it was for Egypt back when the Israelites were delivered. So for some people, when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, he will say to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you," and they will be cast into a lake of fire. It'd be a terrible, horrible day of sadness. One day. For others, they'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." I'm looking forward to that day when we step into eternity. Amen? It's going to be a great day for some. It's going to be a horrible day for others. Even for Christians. For some Christians, it's going to be a wonderful day of the Lord Jesus Christ complimenting, if you will, or commending the labor that you have done on his behalf, commending your faithfulness, commending your sacrifice, commending your suffering, and commending the toleration. We tolerated the persecution and the hardship, and there will be a commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ for that. For others, it will be a day which there will be condescending. There will be, if you will, criticism. "Why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you use your life to show your love for me instead of your love for yourself?" And so it's that one day, just like here in Exodus, it means different things to different people. We're going to look at a little bit of that tonight, particularly the judgment. And I would remind you that just like the time in Egypt, in order for the Israelites to be delivered, a lamb had to be slain. In order for you and I to be delivered, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to be slain. And so in that right, it's a sad day because he died for our sins, but it's also a glorious day because he saved us from our sins. Amen? And in the very same day of sadness in Egypt, when some were sad because of the death of the firstborn, just as Jesus, the firstborn, only begotten Son of God, died, in that sadness there was also deliverance for God's children who had obeyed him and believed and had placed the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. For them it was a day of deliverance. That very, very same day meant different things for different people. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, and then we'll look at this day of judgment and deliverance and see some things about it. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. The Bible says, "The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight we come before you and we need your help. Lord, help us to see in these verses not just what you did for the Israelites and how you judged the Egyptians, but help us to recognize some things that apply in our judgment and in our deliverance. Lord, that tonight as we sit here, if we have applied the blood of Christ, that we are exempt from the judgment, and we are in position, in place, to see that deliverance one day. Deliverance from this world that the Bible says will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Lord, we're also in a position to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and our sins, covered in the blood of Christ, will stand there to be rewarded for our works, not to be condemned for our sins. Lord, thank you tonight for that truth. I help us tonight to be encouraged by it. Help us tonight to live our life remembering these things. It's a night to be much observed. It's a time that we should remember. We should remember that day when we were saved. We should remember that judgment that's coming one day and how we have been spared from the punishment, the penalty of hell, and the death that comes because of sin. Lord, we should also remember that there are others that need to believe before it's too late. Help us, we pray. Give us a good service tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope you read your Bible every day. Amen. And I enjoy reading the New Testament because the New Testament tells me doctrinal things that are very practical to me, and it tells me about the salvation and about the promises of God and things that God expects us to do and not to do. But when I get back into the Old Testament, I really enjoy all the pictures and all the things that the Old Testament does to present principles that are applied in the New Testament. And here's one of them. These principles that have to do with judgment and deliverance, and I've introduced it that way. The day of judgment for some people is a day of deliverance for others. You understand that the Bible is very clear about this. Please don't doubt it. Just as God made a promise to Abraham, and exactly on that day, 430 years later, exactly on that day, God kept his promise. You say, well, Pastor, that's a long time. Well, sometimes it is a long time, but God keeps his promises. And he's going to keep his promise to you and I. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You're going to be raptured one day, either from the grave or from wherever you happen to be. And there's no doubt about that. It's going to happen. And then there is going to be a time of tribulation. And in that day when you and I are raptured, if it happens before we die, and wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you like to be that generation? That the Lord would come and take you before you die. And that day when you're raptured, I just want to tell you something. Things are going to get a whole lot better. There's not going to be any unfaithful people around you anymore. Not going to be any people that are irreverent or that don't believe the Word of God, and people that don't worry about what God thinks. That's all going to be behind you. There's not going to be any sin, no sadness, no sorrow. We'll be with the Lord forever. But it'll also be a day of judgment and a day of sadness for some in one day, just like right here. Let me just show you three or four things about this judgment and deliverance, which are simultaneous. They happen at the very same time, this one day. And oh, by the way, just to remind you, that's the way God works. For example, you were saved in one day. In fact, you were saved at one moment when you believed. Amen? It's not a process. I'm glad salvation is not a process. And I've been trying and prayerfully it'll happen next Saturday. Been trying to get this bus license. It is a process. You got to go stand in line. You got to take the test. Then you got to wait some more and get the paperwork. Then you got to go out and figure out how to do it. Then you got to go take another test. And then you got to take another test. And Brother Wine, prayerfully, I'm sure he appreciates what God did. Amen. That he passed that thing. And he'll tell you it's not easy. And you're not quite sure what's going to happen. And it takes a long time. But folks, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, your salvation is sure. You're going to pass that test. Amen. Because Jesus paid the price. It's a one-time thing that happened to you when you received Christ as your Savior. Judgment is a one-time thing. The Bible says it is appointed to man once to die, after this the judgment. I hope you don't take that for granted, that you're spared from that judgment. But there is a time, a point in time, when men will be judged and cast into a lake of fire called the second death. And it's a point in time, not a process. That's the way God works, is in moments. And so, in this instance of judgment and deliverance, just three things. I'll try not to be too long since I went a little long this morning. First of all, notice that the timing was unexpected. The timing was unexpected. Look at verse 29, if you will. It came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all, we'll talk about that word in a minute, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now, you and I understand how precious children are. If you have children, you know how precious children are. If you don't have children, you are a child, and you should know, ask your parents if you can. They'll tell you that to them, you are very precious. Just very simply, I would say it this way. If I knew that my firstborn was in jeopardy, and if I knew there was something I could do to prevent them from, for example, dying, I'd do it. If I knew something was coming that was going to jeopardize or take their life and there was something I could do to protect them, I'd do it. But the Egyptians didn't believe God and they did not take that precaution. And now the judgment came and to them it was completely unexpected. Nobody expected this to happen. It's shocking. It's amazing when you think about it. You listen to the media in the world, all the things on TV or the radio or the magazines or the newspapers or the internet. And the internet is probably the easiest place of all those to find the gospel because it is out there. But you don't hear the gospel on the radio. You know how the radio announcer should start every newscast? He should start by saying, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Because the Lord's coming back, and there's going to be a judgment day, and it could be today, but you're never going to hear that on the radio unless you happen to tune to a Christian station. That's not the way they begin the news. That's not the way, if you go to the websites that cover the news, they're not going to talk about that. They probably will, if anything, downplay it or even mock it. But that's the most important truth in the world. If you were to listen, if you were to listen to the teachers in the public schools, the speakers in the circuits that go around giving speeches, and if you were to watch the TV and listen to the radio, you'd come to the conclusion there is no judgment, that there's nothing to worry about. The most important fact of all is completely overlooked. But folks, it's real. There is a day coming. The Egyptians were oblivious. They had no idea this day was coming, but this day is coming. And it was completely unexpected. It happened at midnight. The judgment took place in the exact day that judgment took place. I'd say this. The deliverance was not totally unexpected, but it was also not totally accepted. In other words, the people, praise the Lord for verse 28, they went out and did what they were told to do. Praise the Lord, you believed. You're here today and you know you're saved. Praise the Lord, you believed the word of God and you asked Christ to save you. And we know deliverance is coming. Now, it may be that we live our full life or live until we step into eternity and we're delivered that way. It may be that we're raptured before we die. But I guarantee you deliverance is coming. Oh, and let's go ahead and take it a little bit further. Deliverance comes in our situations as well, amen? Trials, needs, it's just amazing to me how many times God gets us out of bad situations. How good God is. And folks, if you will not faint in due season, you will reap if you faint not. The devil's full-time occupation, like I talked about this morning, is to send storms to try to get us off out of God's will, to get us to not trust God, to get us to do something we shouldn't do or not trust God and trust something else instead so that he can get us up on the rocks. That's his full-time occupation, is to set you up in situations that make you doubt God. Listen to me, don't doubt God. Say, Pastor, I just can't see how God can deliver me. Good, then it's going to be a great miracle, isn't it? You say, Pastor, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Wait a little longer. But don't give up on God. If you will trust God, I guarantee you he's going to deliver you. Deliverance is coming. For the lost, they don't expect the judgment. For the saved, we expect the deliverance. We're just not quite sure when. Well, let me tell you exactly when God's going to deliver you. I'll tell you exactly when he's going to do it. At just the right time. Oh, I don't know what that time is, but it's just the right time because God's the one that does it. Amen? Whatever it is that you face, God will deliver. The timing was unexpected. And up until that day, no one was quite sure what was going to happen next. And then all of a sudden, God acted. And it's going to be just that way in this world when the rapture comes. Up until that day, the Bible talks about it. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and buying and selling. And everything was routine. And then all at once, the Lord's going to begin that last 7 years of dealing with Israel, and praise God, you and I will be raptured before it starts. If you want to be part of the tribulation, talk to the Lord about it. But he's already said you're not appointed to wrath. You're not going to be there. Amen? The timing was unexpected. Secondly, the choice was unbiased. Now, what do I mean by that is God doesn't play favorites. God does not have exceptions. Let me show you in verse 29. It says, he smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. At the end of that verse, it says, all the firstborn of the cattle. In verse 30, Pharaoh rose up, all his servants, all the Egyptians. There was not a house where there was not one dead. And even in verse 33, they say, we be all dead men. Folks, God's judgment's absolute. You probably know somebody and you think of them, they're a pretty good person. They're kind, they're generous perhaps. Maybe they are helpful and they've been even a blessing to you somehow. And you just wish somehow that even though they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe there was some other way. Folks, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's an unbiased judgment. The judgment is very simply, this is oversimplified, but it's true. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him or rejected him? Amen? Now, that's exciting in one way, and it's terrifying in another. If you are saved, it is an absolute. If you have trusted in the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins, and it's unbiased, that's all there is. Someone says, well, Pastor, after they got saved, they committed some sins. Yes, we all do. But when the blood was seen on the door, there was no other question to ask. The angel didn't knock on the door, interview the occupants to see if they still qualified. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, he said. I think it was back in verse 13. And that was a fact. The blood was what was required. And if the blood was not there, there was an unbiased decision. And every single house in that category, someone died. That's the way God works. It's an unbiased judgment. When you and I stand before the Lord regarding salvation, it's either going to be deliverance or judgment based upon that criteria. In verse 13, when I see the blood, 1 John 1:7 says this way, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen? It's an unbiased thing. There's no other criteria. What if I'm not baptized? That's not the criteria. What if I didn't join a church? That's not the criteria. What if I didn't keep up my good works? That's not the criteria. The criteria is the blood of Christ. It was an unconditional, absolute execution. Everyone was affected one way or the other. God provided a deliverance for his people, and he judged Egypt as a result of that. So the timing was unexpected. They didn't see it coming. The choice was unbiased. It was based on the blood of Christ or the blood of the Lamb. And then thirdly, the promise of God was unwavering. Don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. But back in Genesis chapter 50, one of our favorite Bible characters, a man named Joseph, was laying on his deathbed. He was in Egypt. He was talking to his brothers. And he said to them, when you leave, he says, don't bury me here. Take my bones with you. I want to be with you on that day when we're resurrected. And there's some interesting research about where the bones of the patriarchs might be, but it is understood that they are in the land of Israel. God gave them a literal land, and that's where the bones are. But Joseph said this in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. Listen to his faith. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land of Egypt, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then look at verse 37 in Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 27. It says, the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children, and a mixed multitude went up with them. There's a whole lot to be said right there. If the 600,000 that were men doesn't include the women, then obviously there were well over a million of them. Not to mention, there were some folks that came along. And they're the mixed multitude. They weren't Israelites, but they saw what Israel was, and they went with them. And that's not a bad way to be, amen? We are, in one sense, we are a mixed multitude. We're not Israelites, but we saw that God, the God of the Israelites, is want to be our God too. Amen. We want him for our God, and we chose to go along, and they were allowed to do so. But the point of the matter is this. Pharaoh said, get out. They left. God said, I'll deliver you. He delivered them. And it was a deliverance that was based on the promise of God. Folks, we've got to believe God's promises. Now, we need to know God's promises. Amen? I hope you do. I hope you have some that you can hang on to in times of trial. Just as God said in verse 17, even before any deliverance came, back in verse 17 of chapter 12, and you're there, so look at that. He said, ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. He says, in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, that's nice, except in verse 17, they haven't left yet. But God said, you're about to leave. They left. God keeps his promises, and he did so to them. Now, let's just look at this last little detail again, this number 430 in verses 40 and 41. Again, God made that promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he gave Abraham apparently a sense of timing of some sort. And Abraham had seen the fact that they were going to leave. He's given you and I a sense of timing as well. There are two or three things in the Bible that are so beyond coincidence that you just have to believe. You have to see the hand of God in preparing them. And one of them is the timing between Daniel's prophecy and the crucifixion of Christ. And Daniel lays out a timeline, just like there's a timeline right here that was laid out by Abraham. And the Matthew chapter 1 gives a timeline for the birth of the Messiah. And sometimes we don't understand what those mean. I'm not a day picker, and you better not be either. But I know this, the Lord's about to come back. And someone says, well, he can't come back until thus and so happens. No, it's all taken care of. He could come back tonight. Think about these people. Here they are in Egypt. They're slaves. They're suffering. They were suffering to such an extent that the command was given, the males are to be killed if they're born. So the male babies were to be killed. Interesting how God took the males of Egypt in retribution for that. And there they were. They're suffering. They're in bondage. And Pharaoh says, you can't go. There's not a thing they could do about it, but there was something God could do about it. And in this world we live in, we're surrounded by skeptics, by people that don't believe. We're surrounded by people that are opposed to us. In our society, it is becoming less and less acceptable to believe the Bible because the Bible declares standards that the world rejects. And it's enough that the Bible says that we shouldn't kill or we shouldn't steal, but the Bible says things like this. God created them male and female. The Bible says it's an abomination for a man to be with a man or a woman with a woman. And the very society we live in has rejected those things. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think it will not surprise me if sometime in my lifetime the government begins to descend on churches like ours that insist on believing the Bible. Well, it's not a question of insistence. I can't stop believing the Bible. Amen? And our suffering in this lifetime, in yours and mine, it may increase. If you're here and you're a young person, we have some young people here tonight, you know, under the age of 20, some under the age of 10 even, I can just tell you there's a day coming in your lifetime when being a Christian is going to be very unpopular, just as being an Israelite was very unpopular in Egypt. But listen to me, we have a God that can deliver us, amen? Amen. And we're going to be delivered one day. That one day, that very same day that God judged Egypt was deliverance for Israel. The very same day that God judged his son was deliverance for us from our sin. And we need to remember that. I just close with this thought. He says in verse 42, it is a night to be much observed. And here's what he says to them. You're going to go out, you're going to be in the wilderness, and then you're going to be in the promised land, and years to come, don't forget what God did. Can you remember when you got saved? I'm not so much interested in the date, although it's nice to have a date. You might just know the general period in your lifetime. And in my case, I remember the year I got saved, but I can't nail down that day. And I've tried. I even called the church where I got saved and asked them for the baptism record, and they didn't have that anymore. It was gone. God knows the day. I know it happened. Don't forget what God did for you. Don't forget that day you got saved. Is it precious to you? It ought to be. That's the day when your direction changed. You were on your way to hell, and God saved you, and now you're guaranteed to be with Him for all eternity. You were living in the world, like the world, captured by the world, bound by sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ set you free. At one point in time, one day, that's the day to be observed, amen? Don't forget what God did for you. When you wake up tomorrow, you got two choices. You can live remembering that day, or you can live as if it never happened. Oh, don't do that. It's a day much to be observed. Remember what God did for you. One day, judgment for some, deliverance for others. Let's stand and pray.